Hello, everyone. I assume everyone hears me. All right, very good. Okay, it's 6 o'clock and it's September 27th. We're at a city council meeting and we're going to start with a moment of silence. If you would join me, please. And I'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Yes, we have Eric Davidson.
Here.
Sakwant Singh Gill. I see him. Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Richard May. I don't see him. We have Bonnie Onion.
Here.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
And Garth Baldwin requested to be excused.
Okay. May I have a motion to excuse Mr. Baldwin?
So move.
Been moved by Mary Lou Stewart.
Second.
Second by Mr. Davidson. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 0, right? Okay.
And just for the record, Richard May is here.
Okay. Mr. May has joined the meeting. All right. Thank you. Okay. Next, we'll go on to audience participation. Do we have any members of our listening audience who would like to speak before council? Just raise your hand and the city clerk will announce your name. Okay, second chance. Okay, if there's no one, we'll move on to the fire marshal's report. Fire Chief Vanderveen sent his report to us by email and he's not here this evening. So we'll move on to written communications. The city clerk will read the communications we've gotten since our last meeting.
We have an email dated September 14th, 2021 from Kate Kenderish regarding a complaint made to the Attorney General's office. An email dated September 18, 2021 from Jan Stamey regarding the Beach House restaurant. And an email dated September 22nd, 2021 from Alex Wenger regarding Rick Steve's visit to Blaine.
All right.
Excuse me.
Yes. Yes.
You were talking about public speaking.
Yes.
And I kept trying to unmute my phone and it just unmuted for me. Okay.
Oh, okay. So,
I wanted to speak. Okay.
You can speak now. You have 3 minutes to speak to council. Okay.
Mm-hmm. My name is Glorianne Tennyson. And I grow up in Blaine. My family comes to Blaine in the turn of the century. Way back in 2017, I was falsely charged by the Blaine police. I want to say good evening to Michael Jones, if he's listening, Chief Tank, and thank you, Blaine City Council, Mayor Onion.
Mm-hmm.
Public Records Act, RCW 40.40.16.010. Public records people may have. I've tried to call the Blaine police. They do not respond. I asked for some police reports because my mother didn't believe they went after my brother, Georgie. I was sent blank pages. I don't know how I was charged with harassment when there's no record of harassment. There's no probable cause statement stating it. There's no police reports that Blaine can come up with. That morning in the jail, I was arrested for trespassing at my mother's. I did not trespass. but that's another story. I was given 60 milligrams of Valium for 6 days. The morning that I plead out, I tell the nurse I'm hallucinating. I go to court. They put me in a cell for 2 hours. I come out. I come in out in the Ferndale court.
You have 1 more minute, Ms. Tennyson.
Okay, I plead for blame court. I did not know I pled to harassment charge with my mother. After court, I was taken out of the jail in ambulance that day. I'm appalled. The Ten Commandments say, I'm so sorry. It says, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Now blame police, Officer Landis, Chief Hassop is gone. But that charge bothers me.
Ms. Tennyson, you've reached your 3 minute limit, Ms. Tennyson.
I will call back in on another meeting.
Yeah, we'll have another meeting in 2 weeks, and I would suggest you try to work this out with our police chief. And
well, I've tried. He will not respond to me. He will not. They will not put him on the phone.
Okay.
I've never talked for one time with Chief Tankley, and he will not respond.
Okay. I'm sorry. The council is very limited in how it can get involved in this kind of an issue.
Well, I'm told I have to bring it in front of my council to let them get a chance to clear it up before I move on.
Okay.
I am disabled from probation and blame.
Okay. I'll discuss this with the city manager and get a little clearer picture.
Jones knows all about it. Okay.
And until
I'm appalled.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
I'll go up there.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tennyson. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay. We were at the written communications. We did that. So we have a consent agenda. We got a voucher memo in our email explaining some of the bills, and which amounted to $112,695.42. An advance pay of $6,779.39, and approval of the September 13th City Council minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
So move.
Seconded.
Yeah.
Moved by Mr. Hawkins, seconded by Mr. May. Is that right? Yes. All right. Okay. It's moved and seconded. Any questions? All in favor of the motion and indicate aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion carries 6-0. All right, on to action items. We have three action items this evening. We'll start out with ordinance 21-2968, and Ms. Kratchner will introduce this.
Right. Well, good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. Today I'll be providing a brief presentation concerning a request from Brady Mason, who is represented by the Cascade Engineering Group, for the final plat approval of the Woodbury Planned Unit Development, or PUD, and plat. This presentation will address the scope of the overall residential subdivision development, the consistency of that final plat application with the criteria in the Blaine Municipal Code, and then it will end with a recommendation by both Public Works and Community Development Services that City Council consider approving this final plat. The applicant is in attendance this evening in support of their application. The Woodbury Planned Unit Development is located in the Semiyama Uplands in approximately the 8900 block of Semiyama Parkway. You can see that the overall PUD boundaries are shown in green. The site totals approximately 9.97 acres, and if approved, will include 29 single-family lots supported with both public and private infrastructure. The City Council approved the Woodbury Preliminary Plat and PUD on April 8th, 2019, pursuant to Ordinance 19-2926. The permits comprising Council's approval included the planned unit development, the preliminary plat, and the SEPA review and threshold determination. Subsequent to the approval of that ordinance, the applicant has installed infrastructure improvements to support new homes in the proposed subdivision. If it's the council's pleasure this evening to approve the final plat, that approval will create those 29 single family lots to support dwelling units. There will be associated open space and a screening buffer along Semiyama Parkway, an on-site trail, landscaping, improvements, and new private roads, a storm system, and utilities. During the review of the preliminary plat and planned unit development, the Planning Commission in their advisory role to council as the recommending body for the preliminary plat developed findings of fact and conditions of approval to address public concerns at the time about the vegetative buffer adjacent to Semiyama Parkway and the development. As part of the civil construction plans for clearing and grading, the applicant has worked with a landscape architect to prepare a landscape plan and has fulfilled those conditions of approval. The landscape has been approved, the landscape plan, has been approved by CDS and has been installed. There is a correction needed to the buffer installation, and that's noted as a condition of approval prior to the plat being recorded with the Whatcom County Auditor. Final plat applications, in order to be approved, must meet the procedural, legal, and factual criteria that's located in both local and state code. This graphic synopsizes how the Woodbury request meets or will meet as condition those criteria. The applicant, in compliance with Title 17, has submitted a final plat application to the city. They have obtained all appropriate permits to install infrastructure and will be submitting a Mylar in conformance with the preliminary plat approval. They have completed required infrastructure improvements up to 80% and submitted as-built drawings. They've completed landscaping improvements to a site. To address the conditions of approval relating to the private stormwater facilities, the applicant will be required to record a drainage facilities maintenance construction covenant with the final plat. Now, the city also, in compliance with its code, has verified that the plat infrastructure is over that percentage complete, 80%, and has prepared recommendations of approval, both from the Public Works Director and CDS Director, included as attachments B and C in the packet. At this point, the Blaine Municipal Code provides the council with three options concerning a request for final plat approval. First, the council may approve the final plat with conditions as written in the staff report. The council, second, may approve the final plat with changes to either the conditions or findings in the report, or the council has the option to deny the plat with findings supporting that denial. Both Community Development Services and Public Works recommend the first option and would respectfully request that council consider approving the Woodbury PUD and plat, subject to those conditions of approval, by passing a motion to approve Ordinance 21-2968. Thank you. As always, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Ms. Pratchner?
Yes, Stacey, you had talked about infrastructure being both, this might be a Bernie question, infrastructure being both public and private. Mm-hmm. Could you just give us a quick breakdown of how much is public, how much is private, and how much is getting paid for by whom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly I can address the first part of that question, council member. So the roads are private. This is a gated community. And also the stormwater facility is private and will be maintained by the HOA. Bernie, if there's anything additional you'd like to add, I'll let you do that.
No, I think your last slide said it all. We approve this completion of the infrastructure, but as the Public Works Director, I would like to add just a few words. The developer, Brady Mason and Cascade Engineering and his engineering group, Cascade Engineering Group, I'd like to say that they went above and beyond in working with the Public Works staff and CDS to make it to tonight. They're very cooperative. Whenever any issues arose, both staffs got together, went out to the job site, met with the engineer of record, and both groups agreed of what the fix might be and moved forward. I think it's a testament that this development reaches this point tonight, and I just want to point this out because I believe this is the way all developments should go for the city and the citizens of Blaine, in that there are no bondable items at the end of this one. So basically, once the conditions of approval are taken care of that Stacy had mentioned, everything is in the clean. So I think that's commendable for the staffs on both sides, and especially for Mr. Mason and his engineering group.
Great, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for staff?
No? I just have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
In agreeing with Bernie on his last few statements, some of the neighbors had concerns about the vegetative buffer and the removal of trees. And Brady met with me and with Stacy, and thank you, Stacy, for your time, and Greg Berg, and we all met, and they assured me of what they were doing. And so I was able then to pass that on to the neighbors and give a copy of the tree plantings to the SRA so they would have them for future reference. So I agree with Bernie that Brady has been very, very cooperative throughout this whole process.
All right. Father, yes.
No, I thank you very much, Mary Lou, for what you just said, because I was going to want to double, triple confirm on this, because I dealt with this exact matter on in my role as planning commissioner quite a few times, and the gallery filled up with torches and pitchforks, and there was a lot of concern about the density of the cover there. And so if I understand you correctly, Mary Lou Stewart, you examined what the landscaping plan was and how dense and whether or not they were removing some of these older growth trees.
I did look at it, Richard, and obviously you have to compromise. If you go further down the road to look at Glen Eagles, which has a much denser cover between the roadways and the housing inside, that obviously is better. It's nicer and it's more private, but you can't always get everything you want. If you compare this development to Sea Smoke, you will see there is a lot more cover and they didn't remove as many of the trees. So I think that that's a step in a positive direction. So that's why I'm saying that. They seem to be willing to work with us all. I know that some concern was how many trees were removed at the entrance to the site. But again, when you realize that you need space at the gate for these large delivery trucks, if they cannot get access inside the gate because the homeowner's not there, they need ample space to do a U-turn to get back onto the roadway. And so that had to be engineered into that, which meant removing more trees than some of the neighbors across the road would have liked. But I don't think that's unreasonable. I think that's just a safety practice. And so there were items like that, that I think once people realize what the purpose of all of this was, I think they're just going to live with them.
All right, any other questions? Okay, then would someone like to move to waive the second reading and approve ordinance 21-2968?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Councillor Davidson, seconded by Councillor Hawkins. Any further comments? All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Indicate no. All right, motion carries 6-0. Okay, next we have an amendment to the existing purchase and sale agreement between the City of Blaine and Bosporus Properties to extend the feasibility period. Mr. Jones, would you introduce this one, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, Council members. Mayor mentioned this is a proposal to amend the purchase and sale agreement that the city has with Bosporus Properties Incorporated. The purchase and sale agreement was entered into in June for a purchase of 665 Peace Portal Drive, And at one point, the city did pass the applicant's request, or the proponent requested, and council approved a 30-day extension of the feasibility period. So we went from 60 and added 30 days to make it 90. We're coming up on that mark now. And the potential buyer is interested in some additional time to coordinate with the city on potential alternatives to building the alley that's required behind the property for full vehicular access. It's a pretty reasonable request from my perspective. It's a costly item. I think we will need it, but potentially there are ways that we can coordinate them to loosen or to lessen the burden of that a bit. And also the other thing I would say is a 90-day feasibility period for a complex development project like this is not really very long at all. So asking for another 60 days on top of that 90 seems quite reasonable on my part. I recommend that council approve the purchase and sale amendment and extend the feasibility period.
Are there any questions for Michael from council?
Correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but was this was the same lot that we had talked about? If an additional extension was asked for, we'd ask for some either additional deposit or additional non-refundable deposit, or that was at least something that was kicked around, or is this the extension of that one we'd already talked about? Because we weren't going to do it now, but we were talking about it later, and I don't know if now is still now or now is later.
To be honest, Mr. Davidson, I don't remember if this was the property. I know that was discussed with the White Leisure Development Project out at the Gateway Properties.
That's the one.
It's possible that it came up on this. I know that Mr. Baldwin is hesitant to extend the feasibility periods. He's commented on that. He may have commented on this one as well. I don't recall.
That's why he's not here.
All right. So if we're ready to proceed, would someone like to move to approve the proposed amendment to the purchase and sale agreement between Bosporus and the City of Blaine?
So moved.
Been moved by Councilmember Davidson, seconded by Councilmember Stewart. If there's no further questions, all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Say no. None opposed. Motion carries 6-0. All right. Third and final item for approval this evening or for consideration is submittal of request to Whatcom County for the American Rescue Plan Act. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council. This is a request from me to have your authorization to submit these two requests to Whatcom County for the use of ARPA funds for two city projects, a sewer rehabilitation project and a water pump station project. We had considered the possibility of a third project that we would submit, which would have been assistance with the downtown streetscape rehabilitation, an improvement of the business district. That is a little bit more difficult of a reach for ARPA funds. It is not, we don't seem to qualify under some of the provisions that are in place there. We're going to look at that a little bit more, and we may seek other alternatives or possible other avenues that might make ARPA available in that area. But I think since we are requesting another government agency to give us some of their ARPA funds for use for our mutual citizens, county and city citizens, I think it's best if we stick with ones that are very clearly eligible under ARPA so that there aren't questions as to the eligibility. Water and sewer infrastructure are both clearly eligible. And the, again, some background feedback, but I don't see anybody else lighting up, so I don't know where it's coming from. But in any case, the real important items here, I think, are, first of all, these are not full funding requests for either of these projects. So one is for the sewer rehabilitation project, which we assume will cost in the vicinity of about $7.5 million. And we are asking here for $2.5 million. The city would still be contributing the lion's share of that. funding to develop that project. It would likely be through a bond measure of some kind, Councilmatic bonds. And the other item for the North Harvey pump facility, we estimate that to be in the vicinity of about $1.5 million for that project. And we are seeking $500,000 of county ARPA funding and proposing that the city may allocate, or that the city would allocate, $500,000 or $500,000 of our ARPA funds. So the items here that are really central for council to understand with authority to move these forward is that you're essentially making two commitments at this time by submitting these to Whatcom County. The first of those is that the city would utilize $500,000 of our ARPA funding for the water pump station to match the county's ARPA funding, and that we would include in our legislative agenda to the state for $500,000 in capital funding for that project as well. The state will have a substantial amount of ARPA funds to distribute through the capital program. And we think that this is a reasonable request that may be fundable. Without the money from the state, we would need to look at alternatives that come directly from the water fund. But there are options there for us. However, it's very possible we may be able to cobble together funding to address this important need through these measures. But I do very much so want to point out that by submitting these to the county, we are saying that we will make those two other, take those two other actions, allocate $500,000 to the city ARPA funds and seek $500,000 of state ARPA funds for the sewer project. I'd be happy to explain more about these if you'd like. But otherwise, I would just say I've been coordinating for quite a while now with the county, being very engaged with Executive Sidhu and some of his staff on these items. I think we have a pretty solid chance of receiving funding. Although the $2.5 million may be a bit too big of an ask, we will see. Better to ask and be reduced than not ask. So I request council permission to submit these to the county and seek county ARPA funds for these two projects.
Okay.
You need a Any vote questions? On that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, are we ready to vote? No more questions. Okay, would someone like to move to authorize the administration, city administration, to submit ARPA allocation requests for the North Harvey Pump Station and the Blaine Sewer Rehabilitation Project to Whatcom County?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember May, seconded by Councilmember Hawkins. If there are no further questions, all in favor of the vote, indicate aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. All right. Door.
Pizza's yeah. here.
Sorry, that's me. I got somebody to answer the door. Okay, next we're moving on to commission, committee, and board reports. First one, Small Cities Partnership. I think Michael has a comment. And the only comment I would make is that there is a Department of Commerce grant for strictly border counties and the cities within those counties for small business, up to $50,000 per business. But it also takes into account if they've received other allocations in the past year or so that would be deducted from that amount. I did find out there's a total of $2.6 million available from the Department of Commerce. So that was good news, and the word is getting out through the Chamber of Commerce and through our website and Facebook about this to the businesses. Mr. Jones, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
That is really one of the key items. I would mention that the Small Cities Partnership did act as the solid waste board and for their annual meeting. That's one of the roles that the committee serves. And it was the solid waste board's annual meeting where they basically talk about garbage. And unless you're really into solid waste management, it's not very exciting, but it's very, very important. That happened. And the board voted to approve a budget, such things like that. The other item discussed and considered was the SEDS report. And it was just sort of an update on that, talking about comments coming in and amendments. We made some amendments on our item. And I did want to report back to council that I'm expecting a letter tomorrow from Community Economic Development and Tourism Coordinator Alex Wanger for requesting the Port of Bellingham include Marine Drive reconstruction under their said priorities. So I think we're probably going to make that under the mayor's signature. I think it would carry a little more weight with the board commissioners if it's done that way. Council did request that we prepare a letter at the last meeting, and I wanted to let you know that's in the works.
Mm-hmm. Alex spent a fair amount of time on this SEDS report through this port report and our part in it, our requests in it. So it's just one of the important functions that Alex has been participating in. Okay. Are there any other council reports from council members? Okay, if there's none, we'll move on to department reports.
I do have a quick question. And if
you have a question, Eric?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Sorry, I don't have a report, but I do have a quick question. And if it can't get answered here, then I can call Stacy on it. I was having a conversation with an owner of a piece of property over on the port, and they're trying to sell their property, and they're saying the port's giving them a hard time as far as what something can be allowed to be. Even though it's in our zoning as, you know, setting this parameter, the port has some sort of sway to say no, because they don't want the port to be that way. And again, I'm just getting this person's side of the story. Does the port have some sort of special jurisdiction over whether or not we can put a Taco Bell or a bank down at the port, or how does that work exactly?
I can answer that.
And if this is a longer conversation,
well, let me give you a short answer, and then if you'd like to talk with me and or Stacy about it some more, we can do that. The port owns all of the property on the south side of Marine Drive, so they are the owners of the properties. They lease them. 99 year leases is typical. So as the lease holder, using that term the right way, they do have authority through their lease to make decisions. I know the item that the property that you're talking about, the building that you're talking about, and I think that maybe the port is making not a great choice there, but they are trying to keep a use in a commercial use rather than allowing it to be used differently. In any case, we are the land use authority, but the port is the property owner, and that's where they're leveraging that.
So that particular building or a number of those buildings there are essentially in 99-year leases with whoever is running it or owning it, but the port actually owns it, is what you're saying.
Owns the property that the building is on. So okay. Yeah, and in some cases they probably own the buildings, but yes, it's okay. So they
call the shots essentially. Okay, great. Well, that's interesting. I know. Thank you.
Okay. We have a finance department report from Mr. Heverling.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. Yes, the finance committee met on Wednesday, September 22nd, to talk about a few different things. First, we talked about the 2022 budget, and I just gave an overall update of how everything's going. Everything's progressing well, and I'm enjoying my first budget process in the city of Blaine, which is a good thing. Second, we discussed different borrowing options that we have for the sewer rehabilitation project for the $5 million approximately that we're gonna need to borrow for this project. And we're moving forward with discussions that we're having with the private financing firm, Holman Capital, to borrow these funds. And it'll eventually be paid back with sewer and water utility revenues. And then the last piece we talked about was ARPA revenues and funding of different projects that we had with the ARPA revenue. And that's all I have for the Finance Committee update.
All right. Thank you very much. And next we have Public Works.
So, Madam Mayor, City Council, I'm going to first ask the city clerk if he would open up the PowerPoint presentation entitled Circuit 11 Outage. Thank you, Sam.
Can everyone see it?
Yes.
Okay, I hear a lot of silence. I'm just making sure everyone can see it.
So, Madam Mayor, Council, Wednesday, September 15th, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Circuit 11 that feeds all of Semiahmoo all the way down to the resort area had a trip and tripped out of operation. By 3:30 a.m., we had crews arriving to begin the fault locating and reading the fault locators that are in various vaults. These are basically little light signals that go off when a tremendous amount of fault current flows through a cable and the light stays on, sort of to point us in the direction of where the fault might be. We spent the time from early in the morning, from 3 a.m. Through most of the morning, trying to troubleshoot and find out where that fault was at. At about 9 a.m., a customer called Public Works Department and was discussing the fact that they had no power, but also commented about hearing a very loud bang. And information like that is helpful for us when we're trying to troubleshoot, especially something on the ground. Unfortunately, this bang that he heard somewhere in Semiahmoo Parkway was about 11:30, and this fault happened at 3 a.m. So, we really couldn't connect the dots there, nor did we find where this customer was pointing that the fault actually occurred. The fault was located at about 10 a.m., and we began switching operations and started to get everything in order to feed Semiahmoo area off Circuit 15. Circuit 15 is one of the main circuits that runs through the city and is usually the normal feed for our wastewater treatment facility. And so by 12:30 in the afternoon, the Semiahmoo area was returned to full power, backfeeding up through the harbor area and establishing that power on by energizing Circuit 15. So from that time on till Friday afternoon, our crews have been out there in all kinds of weather. If you remember, we had some heavy rain and downpours those 3 days. So troubleshooting and getting out there and working was pretty treacherous for them. But nonetheless, by Friday afternoon, we returned Circuit 11 to back to Semiahmoo as the normal feed. Sam, if you'd push on to the next one, please. Here are the two cables that we removed from the Semiahmoo Parkway, just about in front of St. Andrew's Green number 3 entrance. These are two cables. You'll notice that phase A is on top, phase B is on the bottom, phase C is not shown here. But you'll notice that phase B, the bottom cable, there's a hole area there that more or less vaporized from the fault. That was the, basically area where the fault started, initiated in phase B. There's probably a good foot and a half of conductor that's missing, basically from the fireball that ensued in the conduit and the heat of the plasma that was arcing and so on and so forth, just vaporized that conductor. You'll also notice that right at that same location where I placed these two cables, it also helped to burn through phase A. And you'll notice that the only thing in there is a big hole with the plastic insulation and the conductors are actually eaten away. This fault was located about 585 foot in an 800 foot run. Cable is approximately 35 years old. Next slide, Sam. And this is my last slide. I always like to learn something from these events. You know, what can we do better? What didn't work and what can we fix? First of all, the cable locators that are tied to each one of these cables in the manhole or the vault, I should say, were not reliable due to their age and very old style. When we did the vault, Joel, and I was out there along with Greg Berg about 3:30 a.m., when we were opening up the various vault lids along Semiahmoo Drive, we were getting all kinds of locating LEDs on or lights on that were really confusing us as to what occurred. This is an action that we're going to take a look at. Our plan is to replace all those cable locators in the Semiahmoo area. Had those cable locators been working the way they should have been working, we could have probably shaved off anywhere from 3 to 4 hours off that outage. Just to give you some idea how much or how valuable these indicators are. Also out there doing our troubleshooting and trying to find out where the fault might be, we noticed some incorrect mapping data. That's on us over in Public Works. So I've already met with the young lady that does the mapping and talked to her about some of the inconsistencies and some of the problems we had. Evidently, some of the data that goes from our database over to the digital map that we're able to get on the phones and the PCs, some of the data was not transferring over. So we're going to work on that. Good news was we transferred and retransferred the wastewater treatment plant back and forth between circuit 15 and 16 and paralleling them. And that transfer and retransfer worked flawlessly. So that is a very good point that I want to report back to you, that the gear there was working good. The plant didn't even see the problem and just continued to do its job. We did find a few specific tools for the vault work needs to be purchased. We've had some old style things that made the work a little bit more difficult, not expensive tools at all. In some cases, we were still using a step ladder to go down in the vault. And if you've ever looked at a vault, it's pretty congested with cables and everything. There are special vault ladders that go down there to get you away from the cables and make the ingress and egress a lot easier. The last thing is I need to check if there's hoses for the Vactor truck that can be purchased to support out of the way vaults. For 3 days, our crews worked in basically 2.5 feet of water as they were down in the vaults trying to repair this. Generally, what you like to do is get the Vactor truck out there and vacuum out the water. But the problem that we had is the distance from the vaults to the Semiahmoo Drive was beyond the capability of the hoses and everything that came with the Vactor truck. So we're going to look into what can be purchased to augment the already existing hoses we have. Working in that kind of water with all kinds of stuff down there and oils and all kinds of bugs and everything that are floating around is not the ideal conditions. But this is what had to take place to get this circuit back in operation. So I'll leave you with that. If there's any questions, I would answer them. I want to commend the crews for working in some pretty bad weather to get out there and get this repaired as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Z. Glad we have found a few things we can do to eliminate some of these problems in the future. That's lessons learned are really critical. Every time something like this happens. Appreciate you mentioning those.
You're welcome, Madam Mayor.
All right. So if there's no other questions, I did notice there's a couple comments in the chat box if you all want to take a look at that. Nothing major, but sometimes I forget to look in there. All right, so now we are getting towards the end of our meeting. We have some calendar dates to note. And before we go into executive session, I'll ask if there's any unfinished or new business from council. If there's none, we will be going into session to discuss a couple different items: collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42.30.140 (b). Secondly, legal risks of a proposed action pursuant to RCW 42.30.110 (1). And finally, a performance of a public employee pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, parens 1, parens G.
Your Honor, I would like to make a statement that we are adding another executive session to discuss sale of real property pursuant to RCW 42.30.1101C.
All right. Okay.
Madam Mayor, that will be discussing items related to pricing, such as the proximity of the land, other uses, and the condition of the property. We expect the executive session to last approximately an hour. We will come out and let people know if it will be longer.
Right. Okay. And is there any action that we're expected to take after this session?
No action is expected. And perhaps it might be more conservative to say 40 minutes. That way, if we do end a little shorter, we will not have to wait to close out the meeting.
Okay. So we will come back. If we're not done at 40 minutes, we'll let the public know approximately how much longer we'll be. Okay, so we will adjourn this portion of the meeting. We'll have an executive session for a minimum of 40 minutes, and then we'll come back and expect no action to be taken, at which point we will adjourn the city council meeting. So if council will leave this meeting and go into the link for the executive session, please.
Your Honor, you are muted.
Thank you. We just had an executive session and we covered several topics that we had announced before the session. And we are coming back into regular session to adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone.